Question and answer time. And hi, Tom. Welcome home. Tom just got in from Haiti. So we're glad to have Tom here. So we're going to have a question and answer time. So that can be of any questions. It can be for Pastor Brian or for me. So we'll do that for a few minutes at the end. So Pastor Brian, come on up.
Amen. All right. Good seeing you, Tom. I see Jeff out there. These guys just came back from Haiti. Amen. Let's pray again. Lord, we thank you for tonight. And you tell us in your word that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, that you're here in the midst. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee, the mighty one will save. And you're going to rejoice over us with singing and you'll quiet us with your love. And Lord, we love you. And thank you, Father, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, man. Well, it's good seeing you guys. Tom and I were coming back from seeing one of our pastors who planted a church up in Campesia. And we went and visited him. And we're coming back. We're driving on this bus. And man, the bus ride is insane, isn't it, Tom? Tom said he loved it, but I was like white knuckling it the whole time, going through these mountains that this guy was. Anyway, we're coming back, and all of a sudden the bus, all of a sudden the bus driver just slams on the brakes, and everybody in the bus stands up and is looking out the window, and we pulled right into a manifestation, a riot, and they blocked the road. Amen. That's what happens. That type of thing happens in Haiti. We always get texts from the United States Embassy. It says, United States citizens remain in lockdown. There's trouble, right? And so here we are. But this is a miracle because about a while back, this missionary came from the United States. He says, Pastor Brian, I want to take you and your wife to a resort. I found one over there on the coast, and I want to take you there for the day. And I go, oh, okay, great. So we went over and with this guy, and we checked this place out. And when Tom and I were driving, I just so happened, a six-hour bus ride, you know, and I didn't really notice really anything on the road, but I looked out the window, and I saw the sign to that resort. And I go, wow, and I text my wife. I go, look, we're right near that resort. And then couldn't have been 10 or 15 minutes later, the bus driver slams on the brakes, and we're in the middle of a riot, you know, and and so the guy parks, he slams on the brakes, he backs up, he turns the bus around, and he doesn't go far enough. He parks too close to where the riot was, right, Tom? And we're like, we don't speak Creole, but we're like, farther, go away. And so these guys ran up with rocks next to the bus, and these guys came up and started talking, and I'm like, oh, no, this is not good. And they're telling us, Tom and I, we're called blonde, white, and French. Stay down. They're going to see you guys and raid the bus, you know. Anyway, I'm looking at this situation, and I'm like, oh, no, this is not good. And so I call my wife. I go, what's the phone number to that resort? I just saw it, and she told me it's in my phone, and I called them, and I said, do you have a room? And they said, yes. I said, save it. We'll be right there. And so Tom's on the bus, and Tom's like, I don't care if they come on the bus and shake me down. I'm not giving them a dime. I'm all, Tom, let's get out of here, man. And so Tom and I ran over to a little teeny tap-tap, and we got in there, and the guy took us over, and we got into that resort where they had armed guards, and we were safe. And it was amazing because we came out of this dangerous situation, and then in just about an hour later, Tom and I are swimming in the Caribbean. I go, this is like the tribulation, man. There's the tribulation. Next thing you know, we're in heaven, dude. This is amazing. So it was pretty nice there. And then the next day, I go, they came and they got us, you know. They came and got us, and the cool thing was, I go, Tom, let's go. We got to go. And he goes, why are we leaving? Why are we leaving this? And we got out of there, amen? So praise the Lord. Open your Bibles to Judges chapter 1. I've been meditating on this passage of scripture and thinking about it, and I know Pastor Chris is in Joshua chapter 23. Joshua is an awesome book because it talks about them taking the land, taking their possession that God had promised to them. God came to Abraham and he says, Abraham, and he promised him this land. And it was, he said, it's a good land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And he said, you know, and I'm giving it to you. It's a good land. And it was a promise from God to Abraham that he was going to get this. And, you know, all of us have promises. The Bible says that through these great and precious promises, we inherit eternal life. And I remember a while back, I bought a book in our bookstore, and it had all the promises of God highlighted. And it's amazing. They're all over the place. So just about on every page of the Bible, there's promises. And God wants us to know that. But this was the land that the Lord had promised to his children. And you guys, I know you've been studying through that, but I want to look at Judges chapter 1, just to get a little bit of insight here on how we can take the land and how we can obtain our inheritance that the Lord has given to us, because that's what the Lord wants. The Lord has a future and a hope for us, and he wants to bless us. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, Lord, we pray as we look at your word, we pray you speak to us in Jesus' name. So it says here in Judges chapter 1, it says, now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall be first to go up for us to fight against the Canaanites, to fight against them? So the first thing we see is it says that the children of Israel asked the Lord. That's powerful right there, man. Amen? Amen? Think about that. They asked the Lord. You know, the Bible says that we're no longer our own, that we've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. And it's no longer our will be done, but his will be done. And here they are, right off the bat, at a very good start. The first, right in the very beginning, right in the first couple verses, it says the children of Israel asked the Lord. Pastor Chris just read a Proverb chapter 3. Lean not on your own understanding, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen? And the Bible says that his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is what we need to do. We need to find out, not our will be done, but your will be done, Lord. What will you have your servant do? Amen? And the children of Israel asked the Lord. Oh, man, if I think about how much problems, how much anguish it would save us if we just asked the Lord and waited. Amen? That's my problem. I can't wait. Right? Let's just do it. I think he's saying this. Oh, no. We're in trouble. But I'll tell you, when the Lord put going to that resort on my heart the other day, I knew it was the Lord. Amen, Tommy? It's got to be the Lord. But they asked the Lord. Here it is. So it says, the children of Israel asked the Lord, who shall be first to go up for us against the Canaanites to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Indeed, I've delivered the land into his hand. Judah in the Old Testament means praise. So the first thing we see is not only are they asking the Lord, right? They're asking the Lord what to do. The second thing we see is he says, okay, the first people to go in are the people that are praising me. Isn't that what the Bible says, that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people? In 1 Corinthians 10:10, the reason a whole generation couldn't go into the land, it says, nor complain, as some of those complained, and were destroyed by a destroyer. So instead of complaining and not being able to go in, he says, Judah goes in first. You're going to praise me. The Bible says, and this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, is in everything give thanks. Amen? He inhabits the praises of his people. Now think about that. As they're thanking the Lord and praising the Lord for what he's going to do, that's the arena that the Holy Spirit works in, and that's the arena where the doors start to open. Amen? And so the first thing he says is, I want you to go in and just sit there. And you know, the same thing happened. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah, and he was in trouble. The people of Moab and Ammon and Mount Seir, these powerful nations were going to come up and attack Jerusalem. And Jehoshaphat went in and cried out to the Lord, and he said, what do I do? We have no strength. What do I do? And the Lord says, you're going to go up on the mountain, and you're going to praise me. And you don't need to do anything. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Man, isn't that awesome, you guys? If we could just stop and thank the Lord, praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord, right? Drawing close to the Lord. He says, this is how I'm going to give you the land. Isn't that awesome, man? Oh, Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the insight, Lord. Remind us. Give us the strength to do this in Jesus' name. Amen. It says, the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Indeed, I've delivered the land into his hand. Verse 3. So Judah said to Simeon, his brother, come up with me to my allotted territory that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I will likewise go with you to your allotted territory. Simeon went with him, and Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites into their hands. The next thing we see in the third verse is we see Simeon and we see Judah working together. Amen. How can two walk together unless they're agreed? The Bible says how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It's like the anointing oil that comes down on Aaron's beard. And God says it's there where he commands the blessing. Two brothers, Simeon and Judah. Simeon says, listen, you come and help me to accomplish what I need to accomplish. And then I'll come over and help you to do what you need to do. And they both said, yeah, and the Lord said, and God says, okay, that's where he commands the blessing, and he delivered the land into the hands. That is amazing. That is amazing, but you know what? That is one of the hardest things to do. Paul said, he said, listen, I endeavor to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. In other words, you got to fight to be in unity, amen? I was talking to somebody today and they said, you know, I can't believe it. You know, these groups that have an agenda, they're so small, but there's churches on every corner. We got them outnumbered, like, you know, 60 or 70 to 1, and they always beat us. But here we see that if we're united together, if you're united together, in your church and in your family, there's nothing that can come against you when you're united together. The Lord always sent them out two by twos, and there was a reason, because two have a better return for their labor, and if they're working together, there's power in unity. God says how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It's there where I command the blessing. So think about that. What happens with me is somebody does something to me, amen? It's like, I can't believe he did that. And next thing you know, and I'm talking about him. And the next thing you know, the Bible says in Proverbs, there are six things that the Lord hates. Seven is an abomination. One is someone who sows discord among brethren. Because what it does is it divides them. Just think about that. And just in this church, with the people you know, how easy it is for someone to say something or someone to do something, and then all of a sudden, I'm not working with them anymore. And that's what happens. They get stuck. Amen? I'm not working. And it has, you know, there was these two girls, and their dad was in the hospital. He was in critical condition. And I picked up these two little girls to go visit their dad. And I remember this one girl says, the girl said something. little girls. And the girl in the back seat, the older sister, says, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it. And I go, that was pretty good. Amen. That was biblical. The Bible says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification. Amen. We want to build one another up in our most holy faith. Listen, the battle isn't between us. The battle wasn't between Simeon and Judah, man. The battle was against the Canaanites, the wicked Canaanites. And the last thing that, the first thing the enemy would want to do is see Simeon and Judah fighting. And what would ultimately happen? They wouldn't inherit the land. And so we have to endeavor to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. If you have an issue against a brother, guess what, man? We got to go to the brother. We can't go to anyone else. We got to go to the brother and the brother alone. It's so easy, man, to try to destroy them. There's one that says, there's one who speaks with the piercing of the sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. So easy for me to go to the prayer meeting and go, oh, and say something about somebody. Amen? And all it's going to do is it's going to divide. There'll be no unity and there'll be no blessing. And those people and you and everyone around you won't be able to take the land that God has given to us. Do you know that God has good works that are ordained for you before the foundation of the earth? Do you know that He has a promised land for you, that there's a place for you, that there's a ministry for you, that there's a wife or a husband and a family and a job for you? It's something that you need to go and take. And if we start fighting with one another, you're not going to end up making it, amen? And we got to make it. We got to make it. The most important thing for you and I in this life is to know what we're supposed to do. Paul said, don't be unwise, but be wise and know what the will of the Lord is. To know what it is, to know where we're supposed to go, and then go there. That's what we got to do. That's it. That's what you need to do. The Bible says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you will know what is the good and the acceptable, perfect will of God for you. Amen? Do you know the word anxious? The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God. You know the word anxious, if you look at it in the Greek where it comes from, it has the same meaning as a piece of pie. And there's a bunch of pieces on the pie. The pie is the world, and the pieces are the place that you're supposed to be on that pie. And the word anxious comes, the word comes from you not being on that piece of pie where you're supposed to be. Isn't that amazing? That's what happens to me. If I got to be somewhere at 4 o'clock and someone stops me at 3:45, I'm like, ah! They're like, dude, that guy's freaked out, amen? Because I got to be there at 4. And if you're not there at 4, you're going to have anxiety. That's where it comes from. That's where the word comes from. And so, man, we don't want to be freaked out. We want to know where we're supposed to go, and then we want to go there, right? Amen? That's the only way we're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord, because you heard the Lord, and you made it to where you were supposed to go. And so what will hinder us here as a church or as a family or anything or friendships is if we do things that'll cause division. You got to be united together. One of the best ways to do it is just be swift to hear and slow to speak. Amen? If I don't have anything good to say, Lord, please help me. Now, this is the thing. If you say things... This is something that happens in Haiti. Haiti's a whole nother animal. But this is what happens. Whatever you measure out, the Bible says will be measured back to you. So if I start to talk about somebody a little bit, the flesh loves this, man. The flesh, this is something hard for me. But if I start to talk about somebody, the same amount, it's just like a cup. The same amount that I talked about somebody else is the same amount that somebody's going to talk about me. That's what the Bible says. Whatever you measure out will be measured back to you. And this is, it's a little easier in Haiti because Haiti's a dangerous place. And 80 or 90% of the missionaries end up running for their life and abandoning the mission because all of a sudden people start talking about them. So in Haiti, if someone comes and says something bad about me, the first thing I think in my mind is, oh man, who did I talk about? I'm scared to talk about somebody over there. They're going to come and get me. Amen? Tommy was just there. And then at night, you heard the gunshots. I'm like, oh, no. Here they come. Let's start talking. But, hey, it works the same way. If you talk good about somebody, guess what? People are going to talk about good about you. It says, let another man praise you and not your own lips. Especially in missions. Especially with the church, you need a good reputation, amen? You don't need people to go, oh, those people over there, oh, wow, wow. That could just wipe out a church. That could wipe out a mission. The reason that these people were actually able to go into the promised land is because Joshua and Caleb, two guys out of the entire nation of Israel, two guys went back and said, it's good, you guys. And they had a good report, and everyone 20 years and under went in because these guys had a good report. Amen? Simeon says, you come up to me and help me. And then, listen, when you're done there, I'll help you. Unity, man. The next thing we see there is unity. Now, when I was looking at this, this is interesting. Now, Simeon says, come up to me to my allotted territory that I might fight against the Canaanites, and then I'll go with you. Simeon and Levi, if you remember in Genesis chapter 34, if you go on the Bible, on the top, heading of that chapter, it'll say the Dinah incident. And what happened in the Dinah incident is Dinah was the sisters, Jacob's daughter, and of the 12 tribes, the brothers. And this guy named Shechem came and took Dinah, the sister, and went in and raped her. And then Shechem, this guy, the father of the Shechemites, he came over to Jacob. He goes, man, your daughter's great. Love to marry her. You know, I really like her. And so Simeon and Levi said, really, you want to marry? Okay, great, no problem, man. That's great. He goes, why don't we do this? You know, we're Jewish, and in order for us to take your daughters and stuff like that and you to have wives and intermarry, you guys have to be circumcised. So Simeon and Levi, they convince Shechem to go in, and all the men in Shechem on one day, they go in and they get circumcised. Amen? I don't know how he did that. Amen? If I told you guys, hey, we're going to the Dominican Republic, but everybody's got to get circumcised. Where'd everybody go? My ministry's falling apart. So anyway, these guys, the men of Shechem, they get circumcised. And then on the third day, when they're the most sore, Simeon and Levi come in and they kill all the men of Shechem. Okay? So, in Genesis chapter 49, it says, when Jacob's getting ready to die, and he had the ability to pronounce a blessing on all the kids, in Genesis 49, verse 5, when he comes to Simeon and Levi, because they did this, he says, Simeon and Levi are brothers and instruments of cruelty are in their dwelling place. Let not my soul enter their council. Let not my honor be united in their assembly. For in their anger they slew a man. In their self-will they hamstrung an ox. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Simeon wasn't supposed to get any land. He wasn't supposed to get a blessing. Instead of a blessing, he received a cursing because what he did. And so, but here we see Simeon says to his brother, he says to Judah, Judah says to Simeon, you come up to my allotted territory and help me fight against the Canaanites and I'll go with you. What are you talking about, Simeon? You don't have an allotted territory, amen? But hey, he wasn't supposed to get any land. Levi and Simeon were cursed. They weren't supposed to get any land. When Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, he says, you search the scriptures and in them you think that you have life, but these are which testify of me. And we see, because Simeon settled in Judah, just like you and I are in Christ Jesus, settling in Judah is a picture of them being in Christ. And so Simeon settles in Judah, which was so blessed because Judah was where the temple was. Amen? And so Simeon, he didn't have land, but he settled in Judah. And because he was in Christ, he obtained his inheritance. Amen? And that's the same thing with you and I. It says, in him we've obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Do you realize that even if what you've done in your past, maybe you've done things that you thought you were cursed, but the Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 3 that cursed is everybody who hangs on a tree. So the cursings that were supposed to come to you when you blow it are now a blessing. Amen? Isn't that amazing? Think about that. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, this is how it worked. If you did good, you'd get blessed. If you blew it, you'd get cursed. But when Christ came and hung on the tree, he became a curse for you. He took the curse that you and I are supposed to get. Isn't that amazing? So here's Simeon who's cursed, but because now he's in Christ, the picture of him being in Christ, Jesus was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Since he was in Christ, the picture of being in Christ, now he's most blessed. Amen? Same thing with Levi. Levi was cursed, but Levi became the Levitical tribe. And in Numbers chapter 35, they commanded that every tribe, when they went in to possess their land, every tribe had to give the Levites a portion of their land. Amen? Isn't that amazing? They weren't supposed to get nothing, but Levi, it speaks of the Levitical priesthood, and now we do not have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses as we are, but with all points Christ was tempted yet without sin. The Levitical priesthood is a shadow, as it speaks of Christ. It's a shadow of things to come, but the substance of Christ. So now Simeon and Levi, who were cursed, Levi now gets property all over the land because it's a picture of him being in Christ. Isn't that amazing, you guys? That's amazing stuff. Because I know from the background I came in, I didn't think anything. I figured, man, I'm done. There is no way. I remember when I was younger, I committed my first big sin. And I remember after that going, well, that's it. I can never be the president of the United States. I thought that in my mind. Praise God. Amen. But man, then it just kept going. I mean, after a while, I was like, man, I can't do anything. I can't even come out of the house. The cops are looking for me, right? And that's what happens. But see, this is what happens, you guys. This is a cursing. This is something that the enemy uses. You know, in Haiti, they believe in this stuff. And so what they do in the voodoo religion is when they want to curse somebody, what they do is they take that person and they make a little voodoo doll of them, and then they put them on a chair and they tie the voodoo doll on the chair, and then they nail the chair to a tree, and that's their satanic way of saying this person is going to be cursed. They want that person now to sit down to have no friends, no job, sit on the couch, don't get up, don't do anything, sit there, be oppressed, be depressed. That's what they do when they put you up on that tree. That's what they're thinking. They want no doors to open up for you, no job opportunities, no housing, no friends, nothing. That's what they want. That's what they do in Haiti. That's how they pronounce. But this is the thing. Think about this. That no longer can happen to us, right? Because now, what does it mean? Now that every time you and I have blown it, because we're in Christ, because Christ became a curse for us, because every rotten thing that we've ever done wrong has been nailed to the tree, and God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that you might be the righteousness of God. Now, instead of you being cursed, now guess what? All the promises of God are yes and amen. Amen? Now all things work together for good for you. Amen? Because you love God and you're called according to his purpose. Do you realize that? But see, the enemy comes and he wants to condemn you. Think about that. The enemy, that's one thing that people don't calculate when they sin. You know, they think about it. They go, okay, I think I can pull this off and no one's going to know. And they do it. But this is one thing that they don't calculate. After they do it, Revelation 12 says the accuser of the brethren comes and accuses them and starts accusing them. And next thing you know, they start to believe the lie. And next thing you know, they don't want to go back to church. And they don't want to be around their friends. They don't want to be those people. Why? Because they're believing, the enemy is accusing them for the sin. And so this is the thing. Now there's no condemnation. Now, what does this mean? This is amazing because this happens to every one of us. This happens to every one of us. The enemy wants us to, he wants us to believe that we're no longer going to be able to be used by God. You know, when Pastor Chuck wrote this book, Why Grace Changes Everything, you probably have it out there. In that book, here's what he said. The time that he blew it, when he's a Christian, the time that he blew it the most is the time, one of the times when God blessed him the most. Why? Because your performance is not based on God's blessings. Amen? God says, I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. And everything that you receive by God is from grace. In 1 Corinthians 12, all the gifts are by grace. In Ephesians, you're saved by grace. What does that mean? Unmerited favor. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. God just says, hey, I'm going to bless you. Amen? Because you're my son or my daughter. Amen? And so this is good news because what this means now is those things that we've done in the past that are holding you and I back from going in and taking the land. And Satan's like, just sit down. You're not going to be used. You did that before in the past. You know how it came out. Don't try it again. And all these lies, what does Christ say? Pick up your bed and walk. Amen? What Christ tells us is the exact opposite of what the enemy tells them. The enemy says, sit down, no doors. But what does Christ say? No, you get up and you run. Amen? You run. You lay aside every weight and sin and you run with endurance the race that is set before you. Amen? You press to the mark or the upward call. Don't only just walk, but get up and run. Amen? Why? Because he's given you a future and a hope. Isn't that amazing? This is good news. This is what we need to remember if we're going to be able to take our land. Because you got to remember, when they're going into this land, the Canaanites are there. In Judges chapter 3, it says, these are the nations that the Lord left in the land that the children who had not yet learned war would learn war. In other words, you better believe when you're going in to take your land or your piece of pie or whatever God's telling you to do, hey, listen, you're not just going to be able to go in and get it. It's going to be a fight, right? Paul said, I fought the fight, I finished the race, and I kept the faith. And finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord thy God will not only give to me, but every one of us who love is appearing. Listen, you're going to have a battle to get it. And so what you're going to need to know is not only are you going to be united together, you have to endeavor to maintain the unity of the spirit of the bond of peace. Paul said, as much as is in me, I live peaceably with all men. I got to get along with everybody, no matter what. It's life or death. It's me, for me, either taking the land or getting stuck. And so you've got to be united together. You've got to ask the Lord. And you've got to realize that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. That old things are passed away now and all things have become new. Amen? We got to remember that. Because when you come into this dark land or to even get close to your piece of pie, the warfare is going to start. And if you by any start to believe any of that stuff and not understand the truth, then it can hinder you from going in and taking the land that God wants to give you. You're a blessed people. And in Matthew chapter 28, after the resurrection, okay, all the disciples, most of them took off, smite the shepherd and the sheep will flee. They took off. They saw what happened to Jesus. Peter denied Jesus. Everyone took off except for John was there, but most of them took off. And when Jesus rose in Matthew chapter 28, he said, there's one, you can see it in Matthew 28, there's right there, it's in red letters. What he told, he goes, the first thing he said to them after the resurrection was rejoice. What do you mean? What does that word rejoice mean? If you look at it, it's all hail in the King James. It's karos in the Greek. And what that word means is, listen, it doesn't matter what you did, Peter, 3 days ago. It doesn't matter what anybody did. Why? Because you're forgetting those things now which lie behind, and now you're looking forward to those things which lie ahead. And what that word, the first thing Jesus said to the disciples was, rejoice, all cares. And it means, what it means is now you have the power from heaven to fulfill everything that I've given you to do and run and do it and don't look back. Because everything that you did bad in the past has been taken care of by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed you from all sin. There's no condemnation for you now. Now what you need to do is all, it's karos. Run forward and don't look back. In Luke 9:62, it says, if any man puts his hand to the plow and looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. Who cares what happened yesterday? Amen? His mercies are new every morning. Amen? And so now what you do is he says, listen, just go. Peter, but I know you denied me three. Don't worry about that, Peter, because in just a short 50 days, you're going to be the first person to bring the first 3,000 souls into the kingdom. Why? Because of God's grace. Amen? This is what we need to know. This is what we need to know because, listen, we're at the point now in this world and the way things are where God's like, okay, it's time. It's time now. It's high time to wake up out of our sleep because our salvation is near. Amen? Near. It's near, you guys. It's even at the door. When Jesus said, when you begin to see these things take place, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. And now's the time for you guys. Listen, it's not. Now is the time to take your land. This is it. We want to hear, well done. Amen? Amen? Well, I don't know what it is, Pastor Brian. Well, listen, I don't know what it is a lot of times either. But in James, it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and without reproach, it'll be given to him. You want to know what to do? Seek the Lord. Amen? They sought the Lord. It says the children of Israel asked the Lord. He's your father. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. God wants to speak. And if we listen, you guys, then God's going to bring us into our promised land. And we're going to be able to take our inheritance that he has for us, the good works. There's going to be no regrets because guess what? You'll have an abundant entry into the everlasting kingdom. That's what we need, right? That's what we need. So you remember these first three verses. They asked the Lord. They were working together. And there's no condemnation because the enemy's going to try to stop you, right? He's going to try to stop you. Tommy's just been over there for a few weeks. He knows it. The enemy tries to stop you, right? You got to practice this because when you get into the battle, you got to remember this. Amen? God wants you to be, hey, listen, he says, you know, I know the plans that I have for you, plans of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And the way we're going to do this, the way you're going to take the land, listen, you guys, is you're going to be in fellowship and you're going to be meditating on the word. In Joshua chapter 1, here's what God told Joshua when he went in to take the land. He says, how do I do it? He said, listen, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Then your way will prosper, and then you'll have good success. Why? Because when you start coming in close to your piece of pie and the bombs and the mortars are going out, you're going to be able to say, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written, and you're going to make it. Amen? I always tell our students, your ability to rightly divide the word of truth and memorize the word and be able to use it when you're going out is directly related to how much ground you're going to be able to take. And so, I'm excited. Amen? This is exciting. Why? Because, man, this is what God has for us right now. And this is what he has for you. I pray. You know, there's things, maybe there's things on your heart. I know there's things on my heart that God spoke to us to do, right? He asked us to do something. You know what it is. Maybe you know what it is. Maybe you don't know what it is. But he wants to tell you what it is, and then he wants you to do it. You know what it says in Romans? It says, your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I'm glad on your behalf. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Your obedience. That means, okay, that's where you told me to go, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey. And to obey is better than to sacrifice, and when you get ready to make the move, God's going to be with you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for my brothers. Thank you for my sisters. Thank you for your word that will never return void. And I just pray, Father, as Pastor Chris comes up, and as we just to be able to answer some questions, that, Lord, that it'll just be a sweet time of fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.